Will you please turn to the Gospel according to Matthew? Matthew chapter 4. We read from verse 12 through verse 17. Matthew chapter 4, verse 12. But having heard that John was delivered up, he, that is our Lord Jesus, departed unto Galilee. And having left Nazareth, he went and dwelt at Capernaum, which is on the seaside in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that that might be fulfilled, which was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, saying, Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations, the people sitting in darkness have seen a great light. And to those sitting in the country and shadow of death, to them has light sprung up. From that time began Jesus to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of the heavens has drawn nigh. Please notice especially the word nigh or near. And the same book, chapter 11. Matthew 11, verse 12. But from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of the heavens is taken by violence, and the violent seize on it. Please notice the word now. Same book, Matthew chapter 24. Begin verse with verse 37. To 42. But as the days of Noah, so also shall be the coming of the Son of Man. For as they were in the days which were before the flood, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day on which Noah entered into the ark, and they knew not till the flood came and took all away. Thus also shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two shall be in the field, one is taken and one is left. Two, grinding at the mill, one is taken and one is left. Watch, therefore, for ye know not in what hour your Lord comes. Please notice the word then in verse 40. Shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, under the blood of Thy beloved Son, we dare to approach Thy throne of grace. We do praise and thank Thee that because of what He has done, the way is open for us to come to Thy very presence. We thank Thee that we are now in Thy presence. Lord, what Thou hast to say to us, we are listening, Thy servants. We pray that Thy word may be living and operative in each of our lives, that through Thy word we may come to know Thee more and more. We want Thee to be glorified. In the name of our Lord Jesus. We have been sharing together on the life of our Lord Jesus. And last time when we were together, we shared on the walk of our Lord Jesus. That is, the life of our Lord on earth. Now this morning we would like to share together on this matter of the teaching of our Lord Jesus, that we may know our Lord through His teaching. You know, we have four Gospels recording the life and the work of our Lord Jesus. And every Gospel has its emphasis. The Gospel of Matthew emphasizes the teaching of our Lord. The Gospel of Mark, the work of our Lord. The Gospel of Luke, the life of our Lord, or walk of our Lord. And the Gospel of John, the heart of our Lord. Each Gospel has its emphasis. Now, although in every Gospel you find teaching, work, life, and heart of our Lord Jesus. So this morning, as we are thinking of the teaching of our Lord Jesus, we will pay special attention to the Gospel according to Matthew. When our Lord was on earth, He taught a lot. And He taught as never people have ever taught. Because He taught us things that the world has never known. He taught us with authority. You remember our Lord Jesus said, "What I have heard my Father saying, I speak these things." Even more, the Lord said, "It is not I who was speaking. It is the Father who speaks in me." His words are life and spirit. So, brothers and sisters, as we approach the teaching of our Lord Jesus, we need to remember that these words of our Lord are life and spirit. We need to pay special attention to His teaching, because His teaching is life or death to those who hear. Our Lord Jesus taught a lot. He touched upon many things. But brothers and sisters, of all the things that He has taught, if you try to sum them up, you will find that it is all centered upon one theme. And that theme is the kingdom. The teaching of our Lord Jesus is focused on this matter of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Now, strangely, we have heard a lot about His teaching. And yet, this matter of the kingdom is something that is very much missing when we teach the teaching of our Lord Jesus. And yet you will find that it is the very focus of His teaching. Now, this is a big subject. We are not able to cover it within an hour. But we will just give a broad outline. And for the sake of helping us to remember, we would like to share this teaching on kingdom in three aspects. Number one, the kingdom near. Number two, the kingdom now. And number three, the kingdom then. In other words, you find in the book of Matthew that the kingdom of the heavens has drawn nigh. It is approaching. It is near. And yet, as you go on, you find the Lord said, the kingdom of heavens is now here. And you need to take violence to enter into it and to seize upon it. And then later on you find that One day the kingdom will come. Then two will be grinding the meal in the morning, and one is taken and one is left. Two will be working at noontime in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. And according to Luke 17, he says two will be sleeping in bed and one is taken and one is left. Then, that is to say, the kingdom will arrive in the future. To help us to remember, when you think of the kingdom near, remember one word, repentance. Repentance is related to the kingdom near. When you think of the kingdom now, remember the word holiness. Because the very nature of the kingdom is holy. And when you think of the kingdom then, that is in the future, you think of that word, glory. Because this is the time when glory shall fill the earth. For 400 years, heaven was silent to his own chosen people. The Jews, a remnant of them, had returned from Babylonian captivity. They had rebuilt the temple. They had restarted the temple service. And yet, the last voice in the Old Testament, Malachi, you find that God had a controversy with his people. They argued with God. They were hardened, stiff-necked. And because of this, for 400 years, God was silent to his people. Outwardly, this was a religious people. The temple service was going on day after day. The priests were serving in the temple. The people would come, worship the Lord 3 times a year, offer sacrifices, and offerings. A very religious people. And yet, God could not speak to them. Because they were religious, but not spiritual. But that does not mean that God had given up his people. As a matter of fact, the less they love God, the more God loved them. So after 400 years, suddenly a voice coming out of the wilderness. It is a voice from God. The voice of John the Baptist. Say, repent, for the kingdom of the heavens has drawn nigh. Brothers and sisters, after 400 years of silence, God was offering the best gift to that stiff-necked people, the kingdom. As a matter of fact, you'll find the kingdom is in God's mind even before he created this world. Or to put it another way, when he created this world, when he created man, he had the kingdom in view. But unfortunately, our concept of the kingdom, that is, the world concept of the kingdom, and even with the children of Israel, their concept of the kingdom, is so different from God's concept of the kingdom. the word kingdom in the Bible has a very different emphasis than the kingdom that we have in our mind. When we think of a kingdom, we think mainly of a territory, a domain, a sphere. That is, we think in geopolitical terms. Now, it is true. A kingdom does have a territory. There is a boundary. There is a domain. But in God's concept, kingdom is much more than that. The word kingdom in the Bible is best translated sovereign rule. Or, as Brother Spock would put it, kingship. When we think of the kingdom, you need to think of the king first. The emphasis on the king, the kingship. In other words, the kingdom of God is that which God's character is being impressed, incorporated, constituted in the people of that kingdom. It is the king rule. It is his character characterize the whole kingdom. And that is the concept of the kingdom in the scripture. So here you'll find John the Baptist came. He said, repent, for the kingdom of the heavens has drawn nigh. And following John the Baptist, even our Lord Jesus, he came and he preached the same message. Repent, for the kingdom of the heavens has drawn nigh. The children of Israel, at that time, they had lost their kingdom. Even though they came back to the land, and yet they were under the rule of Gentile kings. At the time of Christ, they were under the rule of the Roman Empire. They were looking forward to have their kingdom restored. But in their concept, the kingdom they were looking forward to is still an earthly one. They hope that when the Messiah comes, he will restore them to be the first of the nations, instead of the last of the nations. That was what they were looking forward to. But here you'll find the message that God delivered to them was, repent, for the kingdom of the heavens has drawn nigh. In other words, when the Messiah came, when Christ came, he was offering them something much more than an earthly kingdom. He was offering them the kingdom of the heavens. That's the reason why the kingdom of the heavens is called the glad tidings. The good news. God has a good news for his people. To give them a heavenly kingdom. A real kingdom. A kingdom that God has in mind all these centuries. And God is now offering to his people. But unfortunately, the children of Israel did not understand. The Messiah But he came as the Lamb of God. They were looking for the Lion of Judah. But God said, no, this is not yet the time for his Son to come as the Lion of Judah. Before there can be any physical manifestation, there must be a spiritual reality. That is the way that God always works. You know, men always try to get something physical because that is all they want, all they can see and desire. But brothers and sisters, we know that which is merely physical and material are unreal because they soon pass away. But what God does and what God gives is always eternal. And that's the reason why. So far as the kingdom is concerned, God wants a kingdom that lasts forever. So it has to have a spiritual reality there. Then what is physical can remain. Otherwise, it will soon pass away. That is the way God always works. So you find that when Christ Jesus came, he did not come in the beginning as the Lion of Judah to establish an earthly kingdom, a kingdom that is above all the earthly kingdoms. That will come. But when he first came, he came as the Lamb. Brothers and sisters, because he did not restore Israel at his coming as the first nation of the world, the Jews were disappointed at him. They rejected him, and they even had him crucified. But brothers and sisters, the wonder of it all, as the Lamb of God, you find that he took away the sins, the sin of the world. In other words, you find our Lord Jesus came. He came as the King of the Jews. He was born king. He came to bring God's kingdom upon this earth. But he came as the Lamb of God. That is the way to bring God's kingdom upon this earth. He came to take away the sin of the world. And more than that, he came to demonstrate to the world the very nature of his kingdom. His kingdom's nature is a Lamb's nature. His kingdom nature is love, is sacrifice. His kingdom nature is to serve and not to serve, and to give his life a ransom for all. So there you'll find our Lord Jesus came. He set before the world what the kingdom of God really is. But for that kingdom, there is one condition, and that is repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of the heavens has drawn nigh. Now we know that the word repentance is a very strong word. It is not improve, repair, change a bit. It is a very drastic word, repent. It means a change of mind. a total change, about face. To put it in another way, it says that you are going the wrong direction. You need to turn around and go the right, which is the opposite direction. You know, the Jews at the time, they were thinking they were walking in the right direction. They were walking towards the kingdom. You remember the story of Nicodemus? He came to the Lord at night. And before he asked the question, really, in his heart, the Lord said first, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, unless you are born from above, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven." In other words, Nicodemus, the rabbi of Israel, representing the best of Israel, he was thinking that he was very near to the kingdom of God. Probably all he needed was some more instructions, a little bit more. And yet the Lord said, "You are far from the kingdom of heaven. You couldn't even see it because you are walking the wrong direction." The children of Israel thought they were religious. They were not perfect, but they were religious. And all they need to do is a little improvement, and they will be the kingdom. But the word to them is, repent. To be fit for the kingdom of heaven, there needs to be 100% repentance. In other words, you need to repent of yourself. Repent of your evil as well as repent of your good. Repent of your irreligious, immoral deeds as well as your religiousness. You have to repent everything. Repent of yourself. Totally repent. It is best symbolized by baptism. Baptism is not just a few sprinkling, a washing of hands. Baptism is immersion. In other words, your whole being is immersed under the water, which speaks of death. That your whole self, that whole man, the old man, good and evil in you, everything, religion or whatever, all needs to be go down to death, buried out of sight, and then you will come up in a new and living way. That is baptism. That is repentance. Brothers and sisters, repentance is not just a little change of direction. Repentance is a complete change of direction. It is a stripping off of everything so that you are able to enter into, through the needle's eye. And of course, the children of Israel at that time, only those sinners and publicans, they knew there was nothing good in them. They repented. They came and received the baptism of repentance. But the scribes and Pharisees, they thought they were so much better. They did not read to repent. They need to improve, yes, but not repent. So they wouldn't accept John and his baptism. They were too good. But brothers and sisters, our Lord was in their midst. He was offering to them His own kingdom. And yet, they rejected Him. They will not repent. Why is it John said, repent, for the kingdom of the heavens has drawn nigh? It is approaching. It is near. Why? Because he said, the king is already in your midst, and you do not know him. When our Lord Jesus came, he preached the same message. Repent, for the kingdom of the heavens has drawn nigh. He is already there. The king is already there. The kingdom of the heavens has come in a person. In the person of our Lord Jesus. He's already there. But he still said, the kingdom is near. Why? Because he needs a people. He needs a people who will listen to him, who will repent, and thus become his kingdom. So far as we are concerned, brothers and sisters, historically, not prophetically, historically, the kingdom of the heavens is now here. But spiritually, to many God's people, the kingdom of heavens is just near. Not now. Let me explain it. To really experience the kingdom now, you need to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. If you are not discipled to Christ, so far as you are concerned, you are no different from the children of Israel at the time of our Lord Jesus. The kingdom to you is near, but not now. If we still live our own lives, if we still live according to the flesh, if we do not accept the discipline of the Lord, if we have not been buried out of sight, now sure we have been baptized, but are we in the good of baptism? Is it true that we see that in us, that is in our flesh, there is no good? Have we seen that? Are we rejecting not only our bad flesh, but also our good flesh? Are we today living according to our own mind, our carnal mind? Now, if this is still our condition, so far as you are concerned, the kingdom is only near, but not now. It is offered to you, but you are not yet in it. You need to repent. It is only through repentance that you can enter into the kingdom of the heavens. So spiritually speaking, brothers and sisters, We need to be before the Lord to see whether today we are living in the kingdom. Or today, to you, the kingdom is only near, but not now. To make the kingdom now, we need continuous repentance. You know, repentance is not just once, and it's forever. We need to be in a continuous spirit of repentance. And only in that spirit, we will experience the kingdom today. Our Lord Jesus came. He preached the kingdom of the heavens. And thank God, there were people listened to him and repented. And those who believed in him, they became disciples. The Lord began to surround himself with disciples. And when he had these disciples around him, that's the time he said, from the time of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom of the heavens is thought to be taken by violence, and the violence seizes on it. He said these words with his disciples around him. The kingdom is now here. How are you going to seize it? How are you going to live in it? He says, you need to be violent. And the violence seizes upon it. You know, in the early days, all those believers of the Lord Jesus were called disciples. You read the Gospels, you'll find they were called disciples. Now today we came to divide believers from disciples. In other words, you can be a believer, but you may not be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. But in the early days, you find that all those who believed in the Lord Jesus, they were disciples of the Lord Jesus. You cannot believe in him and not be discipled to him. You cannot just receive him as your Savior and not surrender your life to him as your Lord. These two things go together. And only those disciples of the Lord Jesus, later on, in the book of Acts, you find the disciples were called Christians. You know, what is the meaning of Christian? Christian is Christ man. In other words, when the world look at these disciples of the Lord Jesus, what do they discover? They find that all these disciples of the Lord Jesus are like their Lord Jesus. So they say, now these are Christians, these are Christ men. The character of Christ had characterized these disciples. That's the finished work of discipleship. Conform to the image of Christ. Disciples are apprentices, not just students in the modern sense. They are apprentices. You are apprentice to a master. You leave your home, you stay with your master, and you serve your master. You not only learn his skill, his trade, but you learn his life, his living, his behavior. And you are under your master completely. You learn of him until one day you not only have learned his skill, but you have learned his way of life. That is disciple. Discipleship is to partake of his nature. That's discipleship. Now, what is the nature of God? What is the nature of the kingdom of the heavens? What is the nature of our King? In one word, holiness. Holiness. In Isaiah chapter 6, you find the seraphims, they were crying out, "Holy, holy, holy. Jehovah of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory." In Revelation chapter 4, you find the living creatures, four living creatures, before the throne, they were crying out, "Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come." In other words, you find the very nature of God is holy. The very nature of the kingdom of God is holy. In Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26, he said, "For you shall be holy unto me, for I am holy. I have separated you from the peoples to be mine." In other words, the Lord said, "I'm holy, therefore you shall be holy." Holiness is the law of the house of God. Now, what is holy? The word holy means uncommon, separated, set apart for God. You know, when you read Matthew, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 47, there is a one word, it's an extraordinary. If you greet only your brothers, what is there any extraordinary in you than the world? In other words, what is holy? Holy is something extraordinary, out of the ordinary. And then in chapter 5, verse 48, it said, "Be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Holiness, holy is perfect. Our God is holy. Everything about him is extraordinary. Everything about him is holy. It's perfect. It's different. It's unique. Uncommon. Special. The only one, only kind. That is our God. You cannot compare him with anything else. He is holy. Look at the long life of our Lord Jesus. While our Lord Jesus was on earth, in one sense, he was no different from us. He lived a normal life, just like we do. But in another sense, you find he's altogether different. His love is extraordinary. We love the ones that belong to us. But he said, love the enemies. His love is different. His grace is different. We gave grace to those who are worthy. But He gave grace to those who are undeserved. He is light. The Word is darkness. He is pure. The Word is polluted. You find that everything about our Lord Jesus is holy. Extraordinary. Perfect. This is the nature of the kingdom. And that's the reason why He said, be holy as I am holy. Brothers and sisters, why is it we need to be disciple to Christ? That we may be partakers of His holiness. That's the reason why. Thank God. He has redeemed us. He has given us a life. And you know, brothers and sisters, that life that He has given us is a holy life. If we live by that life, we are not only holy, but we are happy. You know, that's the strange thing about Christians. You read Matthew chapter 5, it said, blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of the heavens. Now, look, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of the heavens. Theirs is the kingdom of the heavens. Is. It doesn't say theirs shall be the kingdom of the heavens. So it is a kingdom now. To whom is the kingdom now? Blessed are the poor in spirit. If you are poor in spirit, to you the kingdom is now. Blessed. The word blessed in the original means happy. Happy is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of the heavens. Brothers and sisters, we have the kingdom life in us. We have the holy life in us. And when you allow this life to live out, you're happy. But if you do not let this life live out from you, are you happy? You are not. Christians are strange beings. When people treat you badly and you pay them back, you are happy. If you are not a Christian. But if you are a Christian, and when people ill-treated you and you treat them, are you happy? You are not. If you forgive them, if you love them, you are happy. Why? It is not you. It is the holy life. We are a peculiar people. Do you know that? We are a peculiar treasure to the Lord, as Malachi says. But unfortunately, brothers and sisters, today Christians have lost their extraordinariness. Our peculiarness is gone. We want to be like the rest of the world. And if we live as the rest of the world, no wonder we are not happy. If you want to be happy, live by the life of Christ in you. Then you become partakers of His holiness and you are happy. But unfortunately, things are not that simple. If there is only that new life in us, then it's very simple. Just let it live. But unfortunately, that old life lingers on. And that is the reason why the Lord said, from the time of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom of the heavens is to be taken by violence. And the violence ceases. We do not like the word violence. That's a bad word. But actually, that word is neutral. It just depends upon the connotation. Some scriptures, you know, translations avoid that word violence because it's too violent. And they use the force. To be taken by force. Now, whether you use the word force or violence, it doesn't matter. But it means the same thing. In other words, if you want to seize upon the kingdom, you have to be violent. You have to use force. But it is not to be violent to other people. It is to be violent to yourself. This is the very meaning of denying. The Lord said, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Who wants to deny himself? We want to gratify ourselves. We want to please ourselves. We love ourselves. But the Lord said, no, you have to deny yourself. To tell yourself, I don't know you. I have nothing to do with you. I put you to death. I deny you. I ignore your feeling. I let you be hurt. Do violence to yourself. Put yourself under. Beat it under you. And in doing that, that holy life in you is given the opportunity. The cross has to work in our lives to take away that which hinders that holy life in us to come forth. And brothers and sisters, during the time of discipline, of chastening, of bearing the cross, you will feel sorry for a time. But afterwards, it will be happiness, joyfulness. Why? Because you are now living in the kingdom of the heavens. You know, the Sermon on the Mount is the kingdom now. Because as a matter of fact, when you talk about spiritual things, there is no time factor there. Wherever there is a reality, it is there. So if you live in the kingdom, the nature of that kingdom. The kingdom is in you. And you are in the kingdom. That is Matthew 5, 6, and 7. This is Christian living. This is the way that Christ lived, and this is the way that He expects us to live. But this is not all about the kingdom. The kingdom has drawn nigh. The kingdom is now here. But the Bible said one day the kingdom shall be manifested publicly upon this earth. Do you know that when Christ came into this world, He was the first invasion of heaven upon earth. Heaven invaded the earth in the person of our Lord Jesus. He came to establish a foundation for the coming of His kingdom. In His own life, He defeated the king of this world, the ruler of this world. In His death on the cross, He spoiled the principalities and authorities and make a public show of them by His cross for our sake. After He left and returned to heaven, He was not altogether gone. He left upon this earth some people there. After He finished the work on Calvary, and He was ascended and seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting for the time when He shall come. And claim His kingdom on this earth. But while He was there in heaven, He left upon this earth His church, His people there. There in Jerusalem was a heavenly colony. He was gone, but He left a people on earth, a colony there. No, those 120 people form a heavenly colony. They're in the enemy's territory. A heavenly colony. Composed of 120 people. And on the day of Pentecost increased to 3,120. Now what is a colony? You know, in the old days, in the Roman Empire, people know about that. In the Roman Empire, that's the way they rule the world. After they conquered the world, they left colonies all over their conquered area. You know, they will say some retired soldiers, veterans. They will move the veterans and their family, say to Philippi. And there in Philippi, they form a colony. And through these colonies, they rule the world. Now, in those colonies, they were just little rooms. In those colonies, all the people were dressed like the Romans. The Roman law ruled the colony. They were Roman citizens. They stood for Rome. They lived for Rome. Everything was Roman. Whether it is in Asia or whether it is Europe or wherever it may be, it is Roman. They are not ruled by other laws or government, local governments. They are ruled by Roman law. That's a colony. Now, brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus left a colony on earth. These people rule by heaven, not by earth. They live for heaven, not for earth. They were there to witness to the kingdom of God in the midst of the kingdom of darkness. And this colony began to spread. And you find a colony not only in the cities of Judea, but even in Samaria. And from Samaria, even to the end of the world, and now even in Richmond. You find the Lord Jesus' strategy. He has planted his colonies all over the world throughout the 20 centuries. And these colonies are to stand for the kingdom of heaven. To witness to the kingdom of heaven. And the spiritual power released by these colonies are destroying the very kingdom of darkness. And one day will bring the king. That is what the church is. You know, Matthew chapter 24 and chapter 25, the Olivet Discourse. Roughly speaking, Matthew 24 from verse 4 to 25. Verse 31, roughly. This section is for the Jews. 24 verse 32 to 25 verse 30 for the church. And 25 verse 31 to 46, that's for the Gentiles. So you'll find the word is divided into three groups. The Jews, the Gentiles, the church. So roughly, you know, they intellect, but roughly, you may take it that way. Now, brothers and sisters, one day the Lord will come as the Lion of Judah. He will come to judge the world. But judgment must begin with the house of God. And then the Jews, and then the nations. At his coming, two will be grinding the mills. You know, you don't grind the mill. But in the morning, preparing for the food of the day. Two are working in the field, that is at daytime, noontime. And two are sleeping in bed, that is at night. And suddenly, one is taken, one is left. Because the kingdom of the heavens is coming. So far as the church is concerned, when the Lord is coming, this is what will happen. Two is the number of witnesses. These two represent Christians who are living at the coming of. You know, in the parable of the 10 virgins, you have 10. But the 10 represents Christians have already fallen asleep through the ages. So you add them together is 12. Perfect number. But anyway, you find that the 2 represents Christians who are living at the coming of the Lord. And brothers and sisters, we are at that time. Outwardly, you find everything as usual. As in the days of Noah. As in the days of Lot. Everything go on as usual. And even with these 2. You know? If you're grinding, you're grinding. If you're working, you're working. If you're sleeping, you're sleeping. Don't be afraid to go to sleep. And don't give up grinding or working. Because the Lord is coming. Go on and do your duty and rest. But the Lord knows the heart. Of the 2, representing all the living Christians, there will be of 2 kinds. 1 is watching and waiting, ready for Him. 1. Said the Lord, dear faith is coming, beating His fellow workers, burying the talent on earth, lazy, wicked servant. The Lord knows. Outwardly, nobody knows. Do not try to figure out your brother or sister. You'll never be able to. And it will be a great surprise at the coming of the Lord. Those whom you think will be taken will be left. And those left will be taken. The Lord knows. The Lord knows the heart. And brothers and sisters, if today we really endure with Him at His coming, those already will be taken. Those who are unready will be left. We will one day we will all be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. And some, by the grace of God, will reign with Christ in glory. Brothers and sisters, Christ is coming. He will come in glory. He will reign over the whole earth. His kingdom shall reign upon this earth. Righteousness shall reign upon this earth. There will be peace throughout the world because the Prince of Peace has come. This is the day that we are looking forward. But brothers and sisters, when His kingdom shall come, we will be sharing His glory. He wants to share His glory with you. But today, if you are not willing to suffer for His sake, for His kingdom's sake, then, brothers and sisters, not that He does not want you to share His glory, you disqualify yourself. So may the Lord really encourage us. Brothers and sisters, as long as there is still time, the time is short, but there is still time, let us repent. Let us pursue holiness. And let us watch and pray. For He is coming. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, We do praise and thank Thee that Thou dost always desire to give the best to Thy people. Thou hast offered the kingdom, even Thy kingdom, to us. Thou hast made us worthy, and Thou art the only one who are able to make us worthy of it. Lord, we can only say, have mercy upon us. We do desire Thy kingdom because we desire Thee, our King, in the name of our Lord Jesus.